Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with
my sisters and brothers, we celebrate today, for the last 3 years, we have been doing this on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Sunday of the Word of God, recognizing that the Word of God is at the center of our life, not only here in liturgy together with the Eucharist, but follows us day by day. The Word dwells in us, lives in us, and is there as Christ's presence every moment of our life. We also want to remember and pray for the end of abortion as we this weekend remember the Supreme Court's decision of Roe versus Wade. We pray for all those who have died because of abortion, the mothers that are with child now, that this tragedy may end in our country and in our world. We also remember this week of prayer for Christian unity. And this evening at 4 o'clock here in the cathedral, we will have a prayer for Christian unity with other pastors from other denominations here in the city gathering here with me at 4 o'clock for a prayer service. We invite you to that. With all these intentions in the heart of Jesus Christ and in ours this morning, let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are Son of God and Son of Mary. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been from the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it. For he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The word of the Lord.
Lord, our spirit and life. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one body we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, we were all given to drink of one spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. You are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating every accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Greetings to everyone this morning on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday, which we celebrate each week at the beginning of each week. To those here in the cathedral, those listening on radio and streaming, and those on television, especially reaching out to my brothers in the McConnell unit of Beeville, to all of you, greetings for this day. We have just heard God's word proclaimed. What did we hear? Did we hear? What was said to us in the depth of our being with these words? We had two people, two figures of the gospel, speak up in the midst of people. Ezra, a prophet from the book of Nehemiah, who read from the book, obviously the book of the law, from daybreak till midday. They didn't have watches back then. They listened to God's word and received it into their lives. From daybreak to midday, they listened to the word of God. And Ezra says they listened attentively. They obviously put other worries and other concerns aside, because for a moment, for half a day, they were able to hear God speaking to them. And at the end of that elocution, they cried out, "Amen, amen," as we would do today, say, "Thanks be to God, because we have heard your word. We have listened and we have heard your word." At that point, Ezra called that day, "Today is holy." And why is today holy? Because today we have heard God speak to us. Today, Ezra said, is holy to the Lord your God. And rejoicing in God, rejoicing in his word, rejoicing in the fact that God speaks to us is our strength. These are words we need to hear and mull over today. God speaks to us. We are to listen and respond, and find in those words the means to being holy. And this is our strength. Centuries later, another person got up in the midst of the assembly at the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, and took the scroll, the book of the law, the book of the scriptures, and he opened it to the prophet Isaiah, in which the prophet says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year of favor for the Lord. That was the prophecy of Isaiah centuries before, and Jesus took that very passage and read it in the midst of the crowd. And then he paused. And then he said, rolling up the scroll, putting it aside, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled." St. Cyril of Alexandria, centuries ago, said what is important about that moment is the word today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. In the person of Jesus Christ, all that was said before, all that was proclaimed, all that was hoped for, all that was promised, is now present to us in a person. In the person of Jesus Christ. That's why so often we say we are not people of the book, where we say, well, the Bible says, We are people of Jesus Christ, of a living person whose words are reflected there in the scriptures, whose God's promises are there, but they are fulfilled in the person. If we go back to the people of Judea at the time of Ezra, what had they experienced? They had been exiled. They were now returning to their homeland as strangers. They were amidst a people who had conquered the land. They were strangers in their own home. They were probably in despair, confused, looking for a word of comfort, of hope. And that is where Ezra speaks to them. The prophets speak of something that is to come, that is to be, which would also be a comfort to them. The prophecy of the prophets then of the Old Testament did not leave people in their comfort zone, but called them to believe in more, to await a Savior, to look forward to, not to latch on and be stable in where they were, but to always know that God's word was a creative word. It spoke, He spoke, and it came to be, we know from the scriptures. And God's word always calls us to be something different. I meet every other Saturday on the internet with two other bishops, and one is a young bishop in Montreal, and there they've closed down again everything. And he was talking about the tension of the people, the difficulties. Some of their staff has left, and he said, "We feel like we're going deeper and deeper and deeper into a mess." But as we spoke, we reminded each other that the Lord is our hope. The Lord is our strength. His word is our power. And sometimes God puts us in these moments, not so that we fight ourselves or God, each other, so that we can listen and understand who we are. Do we depend on God or on ourselves? Or some foreign element in life, or in God's word and His power? And it was a beautiful moment for three bishops who have been through with you, the people of God, these difficult times. Yes, they're tragic, but if we go back to the time of Ezra, the same thing. And it was God's word, the power of God's word, planted into people's lives that gave them hope. Did it change things immediately? No. Did it throw out the foreign forces? No. But it gave them a vision of strength and a vision of power. Why? Because we are on a journey, not to an earthly kingdom, but to a heavenly kingdom. And so we are always moving forward, and God's power is there in His word. And as Jesus spoke these words today, this scripture is fulfilled. That today was not just the day that He spoke, but it is today, this Sunday, this day, this moment, this situation that you and I live in. Today, God's promises are fulfilled. Today, God's word is speaking to us. Today, Jesus Christ is in our lives, calling us to be who we really are, God's children, God's people together, God's people who are on a journey toward eternal life. This is our today. That's our perspective. That's our hope. We will never in this life ever escape or move away from the difficulties, the challenges. But how do we live them? Where do we look for encouragement? Where do we look for joy? Where do we look for a word of encouragement to move forward. If we are people of the Word, if we listen to the Word, we will find it there. Because the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us today, is always, always, always with us. Pope Benedict, several years ago on this particular Sunday with these particular readings, said, God speaks, but are we listening? He said that, in other words, in different words, he said, you know, we like to speak to God. We like to tell God. But you can't speak to Him unless you've heard Him. You can't speak to God unless you have first heard who He is and what He is saying to us today. Do we listen? How close are we to the Word of God? A simple practice for each one of us, for a family, is to take a part of the Word of God every Sunday, and with the family or with the couple or ourselves, reread it quietly without the distractions that we oftentimes mount up in our minds and our hearts that enter into our emotions and feelings, but to put ourselves in front of God as a simple child wanting to hear his or her Father speak. To listen to God's Word, to welcome God's Word into our lives. Not to try to interpret it so much, but as let it speak to us in our particular situation. You'd be amazed. We would all be amazed at how often God can speak. The other day I was in the office and thinking of many things that have to happen and some changes that are being made. And I walked down the hall and I saw someone and I went, oh my goodness, maybe that's the right person. God speaks at all times. But we have to be simple enough in our own life to be aware that God is speaking. He is saying something to us, even in the tragic situations we live in. But are we clear enough inside to listen, to hear? And in many ways, as the people in the prophet's time, to say, amen, amen, thanks be to God. That little insight, that little glimmer of hope, that little glimmer of life, that light that we might receive in a given day, thanks be to God. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And now, sisters and brothers, let us respond to hearing God's word with an act of faith. I believe in one God, Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God sent his Son in time to bring us the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us now offer these prayers in response to that gift.
For the church, that we may be bearers of the good news to those who are poor or oppressed or ill or in despair, that we may reflect God's compassion and generosity to those whom we touch. Let us pray to the Lord. For leaders of our country and of our community, that they may persevere in their work to achieve liberty and justice for all, especially the marginalized and forgotten. We pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for a renewed reverence for all human life, from conception to natural death, especially for the unborn, let us pray to the Lord. Especially let us pray for those who suffer from the bitter cold of winter, especially those who are homeless. Let us pray to the Lord. That God may extend his healing hand upon all those who suffer from illnesses in our community, especially those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus, and bless those who minister to them. Let us pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Sylvia Pettis, deceased members of the Mew family, Jose G. Cueva, Marguerite and Hugh Kennedy, M.D., and the deceased members of the Hagelin family, let us pray to the Lord. Special prayers for Elva Lerma and for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
And as we hear the word of God in the prayer of Jesus, Father, may they all be one. May we pray for the unity of the church. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
God of love and compassion, look with mercy on your people as we offer our prayers to you. Grant them according to your will, and comfort all those who are in need and hear your word. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Pray, sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. Accept our offerings, O Lord, we pray, and in sanctifying them, grant that they may profit us for salvation. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For out of compassion for the waywardness that is ours, he humbled himself and was born of the Virgin. By the passion of the cross, he freed us from unending death, and by rising from the dead, he gave us life eternal. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, And as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have gathered, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. The Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Hello, I'm Father Peter Lisadro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with his love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.